You know it when you see it, although it's incredibly hard to define. It's something about their walk, talk, and behavior, especially when things are hard. It's not about false pride or bravado.
There's a genuineness to it, something that draws you in. You immediately think that you can respect the person and that they know what they are talking about.
It's the ability to be comfortable in your own skin, to be okay with who you are.
And a confidence in what you can do, coupled with an acknowledgement of what you can't.
It's the perfect God-given balance between arrogance and fearfulness. Do you have swagger?
Welcome to week two of Swagger. As we shared with you last week, we're using swagger in the more contemporary term. Oftentimes when you think of swagger, you think of, kind of definition old school, like if there's an arrogance there, there's a pridefulness. But really, it's more the idea that you see someone that's got that confidence, that ability to walk into a room. They're not worried. They're not fearful. They are who they are. They're comfortable in their own skin. They just kind of live life, and they don't worry about what other people think about them. They don't worry about what might happen or what could happen or all those things. They just walk through life, and they do what they believe that they're called to do, and that's what they do. And so we've talked about the fact that we're trying to take this idea of this divine confidence that God gives us and how that translates into kind of a spiritual swagger that we each need to have as we follow Jesus Christ passionately. And last week we talked about arrogance, and that arrogance is that thing that kind of grows inside of us that we believe that we don't need anybody else. We believe we've got it all figured out, we've got it handled, we've got it covered, and we forget the reality that God is the one that gives us the ability to do those things. And so it's not that we're supposed to not try, it's not that we're supposed to go, well, if God wants it done, God wants it done. No, we're supposed to do everything that God's called us to do, but recognize that He is the one that gives us that ability. Today we're going to talk about fear. And how fear just can overwhelm us. Fear can actually cripple us from the inside out. And oftentimes those things that we worry and we panic and we have anxiety about, they never even become reality. But we've wasted so much time doing it that we end up start worrying about the time that we wasted worrying about the things that never happened. And so it just becomes this vicious cycle that we get in. And then next week, we're going to talk about confidence. And what God-given confidence actually allows us to do and what it looks like. And so as we talked about that, and as I shared with you last week, you know, probably none of you are arrogant all the time or fearful all the time or confident all the time. It depends upon the area of life and what's going on. It depends upon the people that you're with. It depends upon the area that you're doing and working in. It depends upon whether it's relational or whether it's job-related, whether it's social, whatever the case may be, will be where you are. So as we go through this series, instead of beginning to think about the people around you who are maybe dealing with those things, focus on yourself and the areas that you work with. And to assist us with that, we have the often imitated but never replicated swagometer. And really, it just talks about, as we think about it, there's this balance that has to take place in our lives if we're truly going to have the spiritual swagger that God wants us to have. Sometimes, like we talked about last week, we just get so big into arrogance that we believe we've got it all figured out. We've got it covered. So we make all of our decisions and we live our life as if it's all up to us. And so we leave ourselves set up to have the rug pulled out from underneath us because we're going to fail at some point in time. And that arrogance is going to blind us from being able to do what God's called us to do. Today, we're going to talk about fear. That was loud. We're going to talk about fear and about the reality that fear can actually cripple us. It can make us curl up into a ball and not pursue the things that God's called us to do. Even though it's exactly what God has equipped us to do, we don't follow it for fear of what somebody might think, for fear of what somebody might say, for fear of whether or not we're going to make it, for fear of whether or not, how are we going to eat if we do that, for fear of whatever. And then next week, we'll talk about the confidence that actually comes from understanding who Jesus Christ is, how we can tap into the power that God has given and planned for us to be able to live in absolutely every single day of our lives. So fear, we're going to begin this morning with a verse. A verse in Scripture that begins in the second book of Timothy. Now, Paul is writing this, and he's writing it to his son in the faith, and we can infer because of the back and forth that Timothy is also writing letters to Paul. Now, we don't have those letters, but Timothy is writing letters back to Paul. So Timothy did not write 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote them, and he wrote at least two letters. That's why we have 1 and 2 Timothy. The Bible's not as confusing as people make it out to be. So the second letter that Paul writes is 2 Timothy, and he's writing in the very beginning. And the Apostle Paul had been mentoring and discipling and training Timothy for decades. And he was like the son that he never had. Timothy traveled with him. He taught him everything that he knew. And Timothy became a pastor of this church. And things began to happen, and it didn't go the way that Timothy wanted it to go. And he began to become fearful. He began to have anxiety and worry about how things were going to turn out. And so Paul writes the original letter, 1 Timothy, to him. And then he says, listen, be bold. Don't be bashful. Pursue what God's called you to do. Don't worry about it. Keep going. You know, in season and out of season. Do everything that God's called you to do. And then we assume that Timothy writes back and says, yes, I understand that, Paul, but I'm not you. Paul, I mean, I've seen you and do all that you've done and all these things, but that's not me. That's you. And so Paul writes back, and he writes in 1 Timothy. Or in 2 Timothy, and he begins, and very early on in the letter, he writes this verse that is so powerful for each and every one of us. Because it begins like this, but God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. He says, listen, Timothy, listen. This fear that you've got going on, this worry, this anxiety, this panic that you're dealing with on a regular basis, that's not from God. God didn't give you that fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. That's not what God has planned. This anxiety is not what God wants in your life. This timidity, this hesitancy to follow and pursue God, that's not from God. That's not where it's coming from. He says, because God has given us a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. He says, you're living in fear and timidity, and God says, I want you to live in power, and I want you to live in my love. I want you to be surrounded by the discipline that the Holy Spirit gives you. This is where you're supposed to be. Stop worrying about all these things. Stop being fearful about all these things, because that's not from God. Now, here's the question we have to ask. If it's not from God, where's it from? If God didn't give it to you, God didn't place it in your life, God didn't put it in your heart, where's it come from? Now, I know if you've been in church, especially if you grew up in church, you know it's Satan. Now, here's the thing. Is there some truth to that? Absolutely. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the writer Peter says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour and just tear up, okay? So there's some truth there to that, that Satan desires that. But here's the thing that often is preached wrongly. I've heard it, I'm sure you did, you know, if you grew up in church, that the lion's roar is to intimidate and fear, and when he's getting ready to jump on its prey, he roars, so paralyzed. And the lion doesn't do that. The tiger does that. Tiger sits up in a tree and waits for the prey to come underneath, and then he roars so it won't move and jumps on top of it, and that tears it up, and National Geographic ensues. So that, you know, that's what the tiger does, but the lion doesn't do that. The lion's roar is almost always used to intimidate other animals from coming into its territory. So if you go, yeah, it's from Satan, well, then more than likely it's because you're moving forward and doing what God's called you to do, and he's trying to intimidate you from moving forward and pursuing your calling. But I would say that that's not even the vast majority of the source of your fear and worry and panic and anxiety. I believe that the vast majority of my fear and my worry and my panic and my anxiety and yours is directly from yourself. It's from you. Something happens, and you begin to process it. And you're like, oh, then this is going to happen. Then this is going to happen. Then what if this happens? And what if they said this? And then this is going to happen. And I'm going to lose my job because I picked the wrong coffee. You know, some of you are world class at this. Some of you are like, if there was an Olympics for worrying, gold right here. Because anything can happen, and I can create this strain of radically twisted conspiratorial events and come out the other end that everything's going to, in fact, this is going to make the apocalypse happen on Earth. That's what's going to happen. I have done this all in my brain. I've got it all worked out, and we believe that. And the problem is that we are our own worst enemy. We stand in our own way. We actually create a blockade between us and God's purpose and calling in our lives because we allow ourselves to be crippled with this fear that flows from inside our own thoughts and our own ideas. And we get to the point where we are so overwhelmed with this fear and this worry and this anxiety and panic that we don't see a way out. And we don't think that we can get past it. We don't think we can overcome it. We don't think we can move forward. And we, in our minds, and maybe literally, physically, we curl up in a ball in a corner and just kind of try to rock ourselves asleep because we're so overwhelmed. Big idea this morning. If you forget everything else, I hope you don't forget this. It's very, very simple. It's only three words. It's fear is crippling. Fear is crippling. Arrogance is blinding. It keeps you from seeing the truth, sets you up for failure. But fear is crippling. Fear literally grabs a hold of your heart and your mind and your soul and your emotions, and it straps it down as tight as it possibly can. It wraps it in chains, and it says, if you move, you're going to make the wrong decision. If you move, you're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to blow it, and it's going to blow up in your face, and it's all going to fall apart, and it's all going to be your fault. And so we get crippled by fear and we don't pursue God's purpose for our lives. So what I want to talk about three things this morning. Three ways that fear manifests itself, because you may be sitting there going, I don't find myself a fearful person on a regular basis. And I think the reason that we would say that is because we don't realize how fear manifests itself. We don't realize that fear is the root of all sorts of other things that show up in our lives, and we don't recognize it as fear because we give it another name. So what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you just three things that kind of come this way. The first one is this. Fear drives you to the negative. Fear drives you to the negative. Have you ever met somebody that was fearful and optimistic at the same time? Think about it. Remember when you were a kid in the room, right, and the light went off? The coat hanging on the door was never a sweet, cuddly teddy bear that was going to come and sing you songs goodnight. It was always a monster that was going to eat you and take your goldfish, and you know, it was just awful. Because fear drives you to the negative. You cannot be fearful and positive at the same time. Because fear drives you to the negative. It always drives you away from that. I want you to see this. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Worry weighs a person down. We're going to cover the other half of that verse in just a second, but worry, which is an expression of fear, right? You're worrying is things about the future that you're worried about what may happen. It's a fear. Worry weighs you down. It holds you down. It keeps you from moving forward. It drives you to the belief that you're never going to be able to get through it. I remember when I was in high school, I think I was a junior in high school, I took a lifeguarding course. And I'm like, oh, I'll do this lifeguarding course. It'll be fun. It'll be enjoyable to do. And so I did it. And for the most part, it was fun. You know, I was a 17-year-old guy, and I was taking it at a college, and there was always college girls that were taking the class as well. It was great. It was fantastic. So I'm doing this, and then they start talking about what you have to do to be able to graduate. And one of the things that you had to do to be able to graduate is you had to come fully dressed with your swim trunks or your bathing suit underneath your clothes. And when they say fully dressed, they meant jeans, socks, shoes, t-shirt, sweatshirt. And you had to jump in the water and tread water for 20 minutes fully clothed. Now, I don't know if you've ever jumped in water before with jeans on. First of all, if you get out and you walk afterwards, that's really, really uncomfortable. But if you jump in the water, what happens is your jeans get really, really heavy. Your shoes begin to fill with water, and you are struggling to just keep afloat. And what happens is as you take this task, you have to keep your head above water. And what's amazing is that as you're in this water, you're realizing, if I could just get rid of all this stuff around me, this would be a whole lot easier. That's what worry is. Worry wraps itself around you. And what happens is the more that you live wrapped around in that worry, the more you begin to have a pessimistic mindset, believing that everything in life is going to be hard. Nothing's going to work out the way that you want it to because nothing in life is working out the way that you believe it should be. And what's amazing is that this negativity begins to breed itself in your life until everything that you see through a negative lens. It can't be positive. There's no way that this can come out positive. You sit down, maybe you've talked with somebody before, and they begin to tell you things, and you go, well, you know, what about X? Oh, that's not going to happen. How do you know that that's not going to happen? Because. Is there more to that? No. Okay. Because there's just this overwhelming belief that everything in life is negative and hard and difficult, and you can never do that. Now, here's an amazing thing that I'll just share with you, and I'll try to explain it as best as I can. But as you're in the water that 20 minutes, at the 20-minute mark, the instructor of the course tells you to begin to take off your clothes. Now, again, you've got your bathing suit on, and it's not like weird or anything like that. You take your shoes off, and then they say, okay, take your shoes and socks off, and it becomes a whole lot easier to begin to tread water. And then you begin to take your shirt and stuff off, and then another 5 minutes, and then this amazing thing that they teach you how to do is you take your jeans off, and you zip them up, and you button them, and you tie a knot in the top of each pant leg, and then you take those jeans that were weighing you down, and you kind of go like this over the top of the water, and they fill with air, and that very thing that was weighing you down becomes something that's a life jacket for you. But because in your mind, and now we correlate this to life, everything that you see is negative, there can be no positive. But the reality is, even some of the most difficult weighing things down in your life, God can take and turn them into positive. Now here's what's interesting about this. The rest of this verse says this, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. Worry drags you down, but an encouraging, a positive word can cheer you up. Now, here's what I'm not saying. The power of positive thinking will change everything in your life. No, that's bogus. It doesn't work. You can think positive all you want. You're still going to get that ticket if you're running 75 miles an hour down a 35-mile-an-hour road. It's just going to happen. So here's the thing. If we believe that everything around us is negative, everything around us is negative. It's not going to change anything. And fear, the more you worry, the more you have anxiety, the more you panic, you're going to drive more to that negative. And you're going to be filled with that. And when you sense in your own heart that you are feeling and you're realizing that negativity, you need to stop and go, where's the root cause of this? What is this fear that's driving me to this negative? Maybe it's the fear in the relationship that person is going to leave you or undermine you or betray you. Maybe it's the fear of the job because you don't think you're doing enough good enough work or you don't think the boss likes you, whatever. And you begin to worry and you begin to become obsessed with those things. You need to find what that fear is. And then you need to do something very, very significant, and it's really very simple, but it's very profound and it's very powerful. You need to stop worrying and thinking about all the things that are negative, and you need to start thanking God for all the positive. You need to stop in the midst of your negativity and in the midst of your complaining, in the midst of your whining about all the things that are hard in your life, and you need to stop and you go, okay, it's not that those things aren't true. They could be true. But I need to look at what God is currently doing in my life that I can thank him for, because when you begin to thank God, you begin to see things differently. And your mind begins to change. And sometimes the things that you would call negative, now you see as positive, encouraging, beneficial, building up things in your life. You ever talk, don't point or draw an arrow on your paper and to the person next to you. But have you ever talked to a pessimist that's a real, straight-up, legit pessimist? You ever wonder why when you say, oh, you're just so pessimistic, and they go, no, I'm a realist. They're like, no, you're not. You're not a realist. That doesn't happen. Hey, listen, let me tell you, it's going to happen. Just wait and see. It's because everything in their life, they see through that prism. One more thought on this. Do you realize that negative, pessimistic thinking is in exact opposition to God's way of thinking. When you read Genesis through Revelation, do you ever hear God go, well, you're right, this is hopeless. You're right, it's not going to work out. You might as well just give up because it's not going to happen. No. Because God is the God of hope. God is the God of redemption. God is the God of rescue. God is the God that saves. God is the God that redeems. God is the God that brings hope into a hopeless situation. God is the God that snatches victory out of the jaws of defeat. Because this is the way God is. And if you are a Christian and you're living in that constant negativity because of the fear in your life, you need to identify what that fear is. Begin to thank God because you are beginning down a path that will lead you to thinking in the exact opposition of the one that you call God. And it will set you up for a difficult path moving forward. Now, what's interesting is that as you begin to process through this, if you don't confront it, you begin to move to the second thing. Because fear is not just something that drives you to the negative. Fear is something that wastes the time that you do have. Fear is something that wastes the time that you do have. How many of you feel like you just don't have enough time? Anybody seriously? You're like, I just don't have enough time. I would say to most of you, maybe check your YouTube watching time. Just saying. It's a black hole of endlessness, okay? Every cat video leads to something bad. So it's just the way that it is. So we all feel like, we're like, man, I just wish we had more time. I turned 45 this last year, and I'm like, I look back, I'm like, man, I wish I had more time. I look at my girls. My oldest daughter's 20. She's getting ready to start her junior year at Liberty. My youngest daughter's now turning into a senior. I'm like, where did the time go? We never feel like we have enough time. But what's amazing is that this fear that consumes us, it takes the time that we do have and it steals it from us if we allow it to stay in our life. Look at this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus Christ is talking. He says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Okay. I want you to think about all the things that you've been afraid of, all the things that you've panicked about, all the things that you've worried about. I mean, since you can remember, just begin to process through them. Some of you are like, I'm sweating now. Just begin to process through all those things. Now, begin to take inventory. How many of them came true? Do you realize that the vast majority of the things that we worry about, the things that we get anxious about, the things that we're fearful about, never become reality? They never happen. They never materialize. You're like, well, yeah, but there was that one thing. You know what? A blind dog finds a bone every once in a while too, but it doesn't mean that he's great at it. Think about it. Think about the vast majority of the things that you are fearful and that you worry about and you get anxious and uptight and queasy and you stay up all night worrying about, and then none of it ever happens. Think about all that time that was wasted on something that never happened. What could your life be like if you hadn't been fearful? If you hadn't worried about it? How rested would you be? Would you have maybe hollered at your kids less if you'd have gotten a good night's sleep because you weren't anxious about something? You see, fear wastes the time that we do have and never pays it back. Anxiety is how the fear of the unknown or uncertainty expresses itself in us. So if you have anxiety, you're like, I just get anxious about stuff. It's the fear of the unknown or the uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen, and so you get fearful about it, and that fear expresses itself in anxiety. Now, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, what if? What if this happens? But other times we create these elaborate schemes in our brain. Somebody smiles at us, and we're like, what's that about? And the rest of the day, we become consumed about what that could mean. Do they know something that I don't know? Did they see something? Did they see that email that I sent to? And your brain just, and it wastes all this time with something that they probably just had a great cup of coffee and smiled at you. That's all that it was about. They got away driving 75 miles an hour down a 35 mile an hour road that morning. They're having a good day. You have no idea. But we create these things. And here's what's interesting. When you do this, your mind and your brain begin to act as if it's already happened. The chemicals in your brain begin to react as if you are already under that stressful situation that you're worrying about. And then what happens after that is as your mind is beginning to process these things, it's releasing these chemicals into your body. And then what happens is that your emotions join in with your mind. And they team up against you. And now your mind is convinced that whatever you're worrying about that's probably not going to happen has already happened, and you're dealing with the stressful reactions of what hasn't happened and probably won't happen, and then your emotions begin to deal with it, and you're like, why am I crying? Because you're worrying about something that's not going to happen, but you think it might happen, and you're living in it already. And then what's amazing is that when your mind and your emotions do it, it begins to interact with you physically. That's where ulcers, high blood pressure, aches and pains that the doctor goes, I don't know why, here, take some medicine. It is a result of you beginning to become obsessed with a fear that is exhibiting itself in anxiety of something that is uncertain and unknown. The solution when you realize that you're being negative because of a fear is thanking God. The solution when you discover that you are becoming a time waster with worry and anxiety is to take that anxiety and give it to the God of the uncertain and the unknown. The one who knows what you don't know. The one who is certain of what you are uncertain of. And that is God the Father. 1 Peter 5:7, if you are a worrier, you have probably heard this before and you probably do not like this verse. It goes like this. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him, God, because he cares for you. And I know some of you that are worriers are like, oh, I've heard that verse before. Some sweet, wonderful person came up to me while I was reading and said, cast all your cares upon him. And I'm like, I will cast something on you. Because we don't like that. But here, that is not a trite throwaway verse. That is a powerful verse written by the Apostle Peter. And the verbiage and the way that he puts it is not like, listen, just cast your cares. He's like, listen, cast it. Grab it by the pants. Grab it by the neck. Grab it by the throat. Pick it up. Throw it on God and say, I don't want this anymore. You said that you've not given me the spirit of fear. Yet I'm fearful. I can't handle this. This is not what you made me to do. And he says, yes, that's right. Give it to me. It's what I am. I can take it. I can remove it. I can take it away from you. You don't have to be fearful about it. And I know some of you are like, oh, I've done that, but it came back. Does it say cast it once? It's like, listen, it is a present progressive verb, that word cast. It's like, keep on casting. Get rid of it as often as it shows up. You go, I wake up in the morning that way. Guess what? The first thing you should do when you wake up in the morning that way is, okay, God, here's everything I worried about all night long. Here you go. It's yours. Because he never intended for you to deal with that. That's his. Cast all your anxiety on him. Not because, just because he cares for you. He loves you. Fear drives us to the negative. Fear wastes the time that we do have. And third, fear traps you in a vicious cycle. Fear traps you just in a vicious cycle. When you begin to fear, you begin to think negatively. When you begin to think negatively, you begin to see things negatively. You become a pessimist. You begin to think in opposition to the way that God thinks and the way that God acts. As that continues to happen, you begin to worry and have anxiety about the things that you have no control over that are unknown and uncertain. And it becomes this massive waste of time that keeps you from pursuing the purpose and the calling that God has for you. And that is the trap. That's the thing that catches you. And it keeps you and it cripples you. Proverbs 29:25 says this, a person's fears sets a trap for them. your own fears are what are keeping you from becoming the man or the woman that God's called you to be. It's your fears. We're like, yeah, but so-and-so, you know what? Process it through. Work it all the way back. You'll be able to identify the fear. It's the fear of being left alone. It's the fear of not having enough. It's the fear of being made to look like a fool. It's the fear of being a failure. Always relates back to a fear that we have. But the more that we allow fear to stick around and we don't thank God for the good things and we don't cast that anxiety on Him, it traps us in this vicious cycle where fear breeds fear. And we begin to fear the fear itself because we've believed that God can't. Notice the last part of this verse. It says, a person's fear sets a trap for him, but the one who trusts the Lord is safe. Panic, worry, anxiety, all of these are a product of their own individual fears. These things overwhelm us when we either don't have control or we don't feel like we know what's going to happen or we don't believe like we can make it through. And then oftentimes these fears begin to take over because we become exhausted. One thing happens after another and we just feel like, I just can't. I can't do this anymore, and we become overwhelmed by these fears. And then what happens is that in our exhaustion, that fear begins to whisper into our ear and into our heart. It says, God isn't enough. God's not coming. God's forgotten about you. And that just builds the fear that much more. And the cycle continues. If you have found yourself this morning, you go, that's where I am. I just know it. I can just as you are saying that, I can feel everything within me begin to tighten up because I know that's where I am. Or maybe you're like, no, I'm not there, but I'm up here. I'm struggling with negativity. I realize some of these things are beginning to happen in my life because of the fear that I've allowed to stay. I want you to listen to these next couple of verses, and I want you to listen to them as God is directly speaking them to you because He is. In the book of Isaiah, God says these words, "Fear not." Why, God? Why shouldn't I fear? Because I am with you. See, fear doesn't happen because God isn't there. God is always there. Strength and courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the recognition of the presence of God. He says, don't fear. Why? Because I'm here. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be frustrated. Don't be worried. Why? Because I am your God. I'm the one watching over you. I'm the one protecting you. I'm the one guiding you. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be frustrated. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because I am your God. And then He goes on to say, I will strengthen you. If you feel like you can't do it anymore, God says, I will step in and give you the strength. He said, I will help you. I will uphold you. I will hold you up as you're going through the difficult days, as you're going through the hard times. And then we'll fast forward a couple of chapters and God continues to speak and He says this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you feel like everything is a rising flood in your life and you don't think you can keep your head above water, you need to remember that God is not in the distance going, hey, come on! And He's not behind you cheering you on going, you can do it! He's right next to you going, I'm walking through this with you. And then He says, and the rivers, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He goes, listen, I didn't give you that fear. That's you. I never intended for you to have it. I didn't want you to deal with it. I don't want you to process it. I want you to just give it to me because I am your God and I will see you through. On the bottom left-hand side of your worship guide and the connection card is a little box that you can check. And I want to encourage you, if you've been processing through this as we've been talking about it, and you recognize that you have allowed yourself to become captive to fear. Not that you've got it all figured out or you've got all the answers today or you're like, oh, I've been set free today, because it's usually a process. But if you say, listen, I'm ready to live in freedom, not fear. Because living in freedom is possible, but it all comes from the confidence that God gives. It's not based in yourself. It's not based in your worth. It's not based in the absence of circumstances that are difficult. It's based in the presence of God. And next week, we're going to talk about that. But if you're like, I am ready to begin living in freedom instead of fear, I'm going to process through what fear is that's causing me to be negative. I'm going to work through those things that are trapping me and ensnaring me and keeping me caught in that cycle. I'm done messing with this stuff. I'm ready to move on with what God has. I'd like to ask you to mark that. If you say, I'm ready, I'm done, I'm done living in negativity, I'm done wasting the precious time that God's given me, I am over with being trapped in this vicious cycle of panic and worry and anxiety and fear, then I'd encourage you to do that. And maybe you don't even need to turn that in. I'll pray for you. If you put it in there, I'm going to pray specifically for you this week. But you go, you know what, I'm going to keep this for me because this is a reminder of a decision that I'm making. You keep it for you. God will know. He's got it covered. But if you go, man, I need to make this decision. I encourage you to do it and allow the Spirit of God to set you free. And I would, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to pray for you right now. So would you join me in prayer? Father God, we are so thankful that you did not give us the spirit of fear. This isn't a test from you or something that you're causing to be brought into our life. God, this is a fear and the anxiety and the worry and the panic that rises from within each and every one of us. And God, you are our creator. You're the one that designed us. You know, this is not surprising to you. This doesn't come as a shock. You're not sitting on the edge of things and going, my goodness, why are they struggling with this? You know this. And that's why, God, you have said, cast your anxiety, cast your fear, cast your worries on me. That's why you have said, no, look at those things and recognize what they are and then begin to thank me for all the good things so that you can see from my perspective instead of the negative perspective and the things that keep you from moving forward. God, you love us so much and you want so good, so much good things for us, but yet because of our own fears, our own anxiety and our worry and our panic, we've hemmed ourselves in. We hear things like, God's got a purpose for me. I just don't see it. God's got a plan for my life. I don't know. Because God, we can't even see past today. The worries and the fears of today have so overwhelmed us and crippled us. We're not even sure if we're going to make it through. God, I pray for every man and woman that is here, every person that watches or listens to this, God, and I pray in this moment as they make that commitment and that choice that they want to live in freedom, not fear. God, I pray that you would remove that fear from their heart so that they can get a glimpse of your power. They can begin to see that they don't have to rely on self or hope for better circumstances, that no matter what comes, you are present and available and powerful to rescue. God, give them that hope that you've got it and a recognition that you will. God, I pray for them today that they walk out of this place with a burden lifted off of their shoulders and a life ready to be lived in absolute abandonment and surrender to you. We thank you for this and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.